CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Israel says it is urging civilians to get out of southern Gaza as it steps up attacks against Hamas there following the collapse of a temporary ceasefire. Mark Regevs, a top aide to Prime Minister Netanyahu.
We've designated specific safer areas for people to move to. The whole idea is to save lives. That's the point of requesting people to leave.
CBS's Linda Gradstein's in Jerusalem.
The Israeli army spokesman said the Hamas commander was in charge of plans to raid Israel on October 7th that sparked the current fighting. He also said the army is expanding the ground offensive to all areas of the Gaza Strip and said the army will reach wherever Hamas operates.
Meantime, some Palestinians say they have nowhere to go to escape the bombing. Nearly 2 million have been displaced since this war started. And the U.S. is optimistic there could be another pause in fighting soon. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was on Face the Nation.
We don't believe it's insurmountable. In fact, even while the negotiations have stopped, we haven't stopped. Our efforts on the National Security Council and all the way up to the president, trying to work hour by hour to see if we can get this pause reinstated and get those hostages out.
Just two American hostages have been released. Another major earthquake hit the southern coast of the Philippines, this time a magnitude 6.9. Experts say there's no risk of tsunami, but it is the same area a 7.6 magnitude tremor hit yesterday, killing two people. Alaska Airlines says it plans to buy Hawaiian Airlines. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The deal, worth $1.9 billion, would keep both airlines' brands from the nation's 49th and 50th states, with the combined airline based in Seattle and led by Alaska Airlines CEO. Honolulu would remain a key hub. While the deal has the approval of the boards of both companies, it still needs the okay from shareholders and from the federal government.
Investigators say they tracked down the man arrested for allegedly killing three homeless people in L.A. by using surveillance video to match his license plate to each murder scene. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna.
Through a combination of interviews, videos, and other investigative techniques, they were able to identify a vehicle that they believed was used in this murder.
They still don't have a motive. And flu season is officially here. The CDC says it expects cases to keep climbing through the end of the year. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb.
Flu has started later than it did last year. It's predominantly flu A. The vaccine does appear to cover it well. And the vaccination rates have been quite good this year. About 38% of adults and children have been vaccinated for flu.
COVID is still more prevalent. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
I'm Tamron Hall.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Friday was World AIDS Day. A woman whose son became the public face of the disease is reminding people to never forget the victims lost and the effort to find a cure. Here's Joe Ullery.
More than 40 million people have died from AIDS, including Ryan White, who grew up at a time when not much was known about it and medicine offered few treatments. Ryan contracted the disease during a blood transfusion at age 13. He became a staunch advocate against discrimination and helped change how Americans view AIDS. Jeannie White-Gender says it's imperative to remember all the lost lives.
That is so important that we remember all the people who got us to where we are today, because they are no longer here. And I'm not just talking about Ryan, because Ryan was a face, but there are so many people that did all the work.
Just 5 weeks after Ryan's death in 1990, Congress overwhelmingly passed the Ryan White Care Act with bipartisan support. The legislation helps more people get tested for HIV and offers assistance to patients in all stages of the disease. Ryan's mom says AIDS affects people across the spectrum regardless of labels.
A gay person has it, a straight person has it, a blood transfusion person has it. It was for everybody. Once you have AIDS, you're just like everybody else who has AIDS. You're fighting to stay alive. And people fought to stay alive, and people dedicated their lives to get us to where we are today.
She says Ryan would have turned 52 next week. His mom plans to travel to Indiana University on his birthday, where the Rural Center for AIDS STD Prevention will present the Ryan White Distinguished Leadership Award to Dr. Joe and Sarah Ellen Mamlin. I'm Joe Ullery. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Dow.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, we'll see cloudy skies and a low temperature right around 30 degrees. For Monday, mostly cloudy. Highs near 37. Chance of rain and snow Monday night as we drop to 29. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy, 38. 40 and breezy for Wednesday under partly sunny skies.
Right now, 35.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And as a rarity, today, I have no moniker for the show. Didn't want to think that hard. Happy Wednesday to you.
Another hump day. Good to be with you, Mike. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy hump day.
You know, as the announcer says, greatest radio show ever. And I know we've been accused of being too humble around here sometimes.
Sometimes.
But I think we say it just to reassure ourselves sometimes.
Hey, I don't say it. The guy and the announcer says it. I just follow the announcer. What can I do?
Dominic, we are going to have a damn good show today, I assure you and the audience. James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel going to come in at 4:30 or stream in at 4:30. And his column today that describes the racist, bigoted stuff that he has received in the course of doing his professional career as a journalist. We're going to have a discussion about race. And Causey, more a contemporary of ours, Dom, but we're going to talk to an old dog, old radio dog, friend of ours, Earl Ingram, Milwaukee's own, Civic Media's own, WAUK's own. Earl's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to continue this conversation about race through a few different generations and see if the perspectives are different. But Dom, I got to tell you, I've got a differing perspective than an email I received overnight.
Oh, do tell.
From the Wisconsin GOP.
Yeah.
They sent me an email, and let me go back to the inbox. I want to make sure I get this right. It's I can't find the particular spot. But here's the point. It said Milwaukee Braves legend Warren Spahn, and then it's subject lined, unbelievable. I'm like, Warren Spahn, that guy was a great baseball player. And I hear that's Tony Evers' porn name, or pseudonym, as some would say. So I get this unbelievably addressed email from the WisGOP. And I thought to myself, I thought I had unsubscribed from their list, but apparently not. And, you know, here's the greatest part. They addressed it to me personally as Middleton, which happens to be the community I live in, but not exactly my name, but, you know, I'll take it. as far as I'm concerned, they can identify me as Middleton.
You are now known as Middleton.
Middleton, this is not actually the late Warren Spahn, Milwaukee Braves legend. We don't send 17,000 emails over fake names hiding from the public. You know who does, though? Governor Tony Evers. That's right. Tony Evers has been using taxpayer dollars to send and receive at least 17,000 emails under a fake email address, Warren Spahn at Wisconsin.gov. Read about it here at the Wisconsin Right Now. I'd prefer not to. But, you know, we've been talking about this coverage. We did bring it to your attention, you, the audience. And we don't think it's great that Tony Evers would, you know, follow the prior precedent. I do find it, you know, typical that the GOP would use this as an opportunity to join the fight. Give now. Not working for Wisconsin. You know, they got Tony Evers up at the top here. Is he on the ballot this year, Dom? I'm not sure. Do you think fundraising off Tony Evers is going to be a big money turnout mechanism? I mean, isn't Tammy Baldwin on the ballot? Why don't they?
Who's the Republican running against Tammy Baldwin again?
Named later.
TBD. Love that band.
Now, here's what it says over when you click the link to join the fight. Not working for Wisconsin, Tony Evers. And we're doing everything we can to restore integrity to our sacred institutions.
What?
Not counting the Constitution, of course.
All right. Like fraudulent electors? Is that instilling confidence? You know, fraud? That's what they're down for?
Dominic, join us, the WISGOP, in the fight against corruption and cowardice. Where's the cowardice exactly? And cowardice by contributing any amount to our mission. Even $10 would bring us a step closer to our goal. Now, this would go to the state party, right? Weren't they the fine shepherds of the money that got hacked for like $3 million?
I think they got some of it back.
Now, I understand the national party, the RNC, is starting to cut back on expenses because they're worried because their donations are way down.
Yeah, weird how that happens. And my understanding, several of the state GOP parties are in dire straits as well. Michigan, for example.
Well, I'm not sure what the financial wherewithal of the WISGOP is, but they're fundraising on the fact that Tony Evers has a porn name or a email pseudonym. And I don't like the policy. And I even mentioned, Tony didn't come up with this bright idea. It came from the Wankinator, the former governor, right? But our friend Bruce Murphy over at the UrbanMilwaukee.com online daily, I think he covers it best, Tom, when he says, Evers' email issue pales compared to Walker. It's not even close, fella. On Sunday, Wisconsin Right Now broke a story reporting that Governor Tony Evers had used an email under a pseudonym that conducted state business with over 17,000 emails sent to and from the account. On Monday, the rest of the media jumped aboard the story, including Wisconsin Public Radio, whose Urban Milwaukee republished. To those who know Evers' history, the name of the account, Warren Spahn at Wisconsin.gov, might have been a tip-off, as Evers, as a kid, was a huge fan of Spahn, the Hall of Famer and Milwaukee Braves stalwart for many years. The state's top open records champion, Bill Leaders, he's a friend of ours, longtime president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, was widely quoted suggesting this was a problem. But if so, it's one that goes back years, at least to the administration of Republican Scott Walker, who used the pseudonym Kevin.Scott at Wisconsin.gov in conducting government business, as Walker's former chief legal counsel, Katie Ichtowski, noted. And Evers' spokesman, Britt Kudebeck, explained that this was part of a digital security practice used for more than a decade to prevent phishing, spam, and other email correspondence that could monitor or disrupt state information technology infrastructure. And when the Evers administration has handled public records requests, it has included any relevant emails from the Warren Spahn account, something the Journal Sentinel verified in a check of its own records request. So, Dom, one might think there's a better way to handle pesky and malevolent emails though no one has so far suggested what that might be. But there is so far no evidence that open records rules were evaded by Evers, who apparently has retired the Spun account and now uses a different, let's call it private-facing email to ward off the email deluge on his official account. Dom, I've sent a few there.
Crudy, all of which is a far cry from the record of Scott Walker, who had a private email system and staffers using private laptops to connect to it. The system was used to hide the illegal campaigning on the public time his staff was doing. Two of Walker's staffers, Kelly Reinflush and Darlene Wink, were convicted of campaigning on public time to help elect Walker in his successful 2010 campaign for governor. I haven't heard those names in a long time. It kind of brings back memories. Kelly Reinflush.
Bad memories. Corrupt, criminally corrupt memories.
Yeah, nothing like getting paid by the taxpayers to campaign for your guy, Scott Walker. And that's exactly what they did. They were convicted of it. Good. Continuing, four other aides were also convicted of violating campaign finance laws, along with other charges. Records of the investigation showed that Walker's staff used a separate Wi-Fi system, private email accounts, and different laptops to evade security of their activities and operated a private router just 20 feet from his office. In one email, Reinflush says he used a separate laptop and email, quote, to do things I shouldn't be doing on my county computer, unquote. Walker refused to say whether he knew of or personally used the secret email system, but in some of the emails, he appeared to be aware of it. The John Doe investigation of his county office eventually expanded to his administration as governor, but that probe was shut down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of course it was.
That's the former Supreme Court with a lot of conservatives. You know, think the Gablemans and the Patience Rogensacks and the Bad Bradley and the Zieglers, but please continue.
But there was considerable evidence that Walker had a similar operation going on as governor. A close observer of his administration, who attended numerous meetings with his staff, told Urban Milwaukee in a February 2014 story that there was a system that seemed designed, as the county executive office was, to enable staff to do campaign work on government time and evade public records requests of this by using personal laptops and Gmail accounts. The source saw, quote, probably half a dozen staff members who had personal laptops at their desk, including Walker's personal scheduler, Dorothy Moore, and his trusted lieutenant, Keith Gilks, both of whom had worked for him at the county. This included gubernatorial staff on the second floor of the East Wing and some of the so-called policy pit on the first floor below this, where policy analysts for the governor worked. The source said a number of Walker's staff had private email accounts, all using Gmail addresses, by which they communicated with each other and were told to always use a Gmail address to staff to discuss anything political. After the story broke, Walker denied to the media he had such a system, but in October of 2015, a story by Madison TV station WKOW reported that it was leaked some of the private email addresses that Gilks and other staff used. In May, WKOW had asked Walker whether some of his staff had used personal email while working on the public payroll. I don't know, said the governor. I mean, not that I am aware of.
You were the John Doe. You were the target. He knows.
They were doing that. They were working on the taxpayer dime for you. For you, Scott Walker. You think they're just doing that on their own? There's no direction from the county executive. I mean, who walks in and sets up a private email router with nobody knowing? I mean, who knows what the password is? Yeah, really? Really? There's more to this. Perhaps we'll get back to it.
It's Kevin.Scott.
Scott.
At Wisconsin.gov.
Bruce Murphy. Evers' email issue pales compared to Walker, both as county exec and governor. Scott Walker systematically evaded public scrutiny.
A texter. Are you a bottom or a top? Eh, I'm a Middleton.
Ha 93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Call us 844-967-2789. James Causey, journalist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
And our pal Earl Ingram from WAUK and Civic Media fame joining us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. Stick around for all of it. And we'll make a little time right now for your calls if you dial quick at 844-967-2789. But I just find it so ironic, the WSGOP fundraising on the corrupt secret emails of Tony Evers. The irony, Rich. 844-967-2789. Matt from Madison. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey. But first, a quick technical point. Like, I guarantee you the end user agreement on any email system that's generated with a .gov suffix has a FOIA disclaimer. So it's not like they were getting around anything. And that's actually probably true of Scott Walker, right? So that's a... they're already overselling it there. But the funny thing is, this is it kind of is very on brand, where the Republicans love to look for a crime before it's even happened, right? Because the crime would be denying a FOIA request, freedom of information and whatever by using this email. But there's no proof that's happened. These guys are always looking for a crime.
You're missing the actual crime. The actual crime was campaigning on the taxpayer dollar. The crime is not the
100%.
That's why they're using the secret email router system, is because Scott Walker's got his staff campaigning for him. A different crime.
No, that
different
is
crime.
Wrong. The right. Because the server, the literal .gov servers are protected and have FOIA requirements every time you log into them. That's why he went with Gmail, because that stuff doesn't exist. But I do love that this is the best they have. The best thing that they've been able to come up with to get Tony since 2018 is he did as bad as our guy, but not even kind of in reality. I love it, because that's the best they can come up with. Like, it's like butthurt emails. That's how bereft of ideas they are as a whole party.
Matt, do you recall the cascading corruption under the Scott Walker administration, the 14,000 emails released to The Guardian once upon a time, the checks far exceeding campaign finance limits written to coordinating third-party groups because Scott Walker asked? I mean, do they really want to relive the John Doe? Because I remember a lot of the details.
It wasn't great, Matt.
It cascaded until the Supreme Court stepped in and stopped it, and they just rewrote the law.
And said, burn all the evidence, get rid of the Government Accountability Board and the John Does, and raise campaign finance caps, and effectively, Matt, thank you for calling, effectively allow unlimited donations to the party conduits. And then, damn it, wouldn't you know it, the Democrats hired their own rainmaker in Ben Winkler, and that's not worked out so well for the party of Wanker.
Be careful of what you wish for. But Tony's emails, 844-967-2789. Tom from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, Ben. Tom.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you caught the latest scandal,
Tom Tiffany is on his Facebook page is calling for defunding the United Nations. It's because they asked Americans to eat less meat. Snowflake much?
You know, Tom, I saw from one of the texters, and I think it was Cam from Nina, curious what your guy's opinion on emotional support animals is. And I thought to myself, Tom, well, sometimes they're delicious.
Terrible. Beautiful, guys. Great show.
Thanks, right, Tom. Thanks, appreciate it. I'm an equal opportunity offender, Tom.
I like to bring this pet calf onto the plane, please.
Wasn't
I love veal.
Wasn't the little lamb Mary's support animal?
Exactly.
I bet he was just great with some mint jelly. Go ahead.
This piece of the Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, you know, kind of articulating some of the issues that Scott Walker put all of us through when he, you know, worked to go from the county executive here in Milwaukee County up to the governor's office. And as mentioned, his lieutenant in this article, they use Gmail. So I get Matt's point, you know, on a .gov, there's requirements, whatever. But if you slide in a Gmail account, you can get anybody to get a Gmail account. If you got an internet access, you can get to it. And who was it? Wasn't there one of the, I know, Crude, you got the great memory here, but was there one of the people in Walker's circle who wanted people, when they talked about things, said verbally, don't put it in writing. Have a conversation.
Hell, that might have been his chief legal counsel, Brian Hagedorn, now Supreme Court Justice, or maybe it was the principal. I think it was Wanker that effectively told his troops, do not write it down. Only deliver information in a verbal form because we don't want any evidence.
It might have been Mike Hipps. A little more from Bruce Murphy.
Mike Hipps was the number one at the Department of Administration. He was his top cabinet officer, air quotes.
WKOW reporters requested all of the emails sent to or from the personal email address of Gilks, the former Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch, and Walker's second chief of staff, Eric Shute, that contained official state business communications. The governor's office ultimately sent 980 pages worth of emails to 27 News on Monday, October 12th, nearly 4 months after our initial request, WKOW reported. In the first year of the Walker administration, state business was conducted through more than 300 personal emails. In an attempt to justify the private email system, Walker's press secretary, Laurel Patrick, told WKOW, our office also routinely trains staff to forward any emails related to state business to their official accounts for the purpose of retention. But the station noted that dozens of the emails 27 News received were never sent to an official state account until they were forwarded to the government email address of Governor Scott Walker's chief legal counsel, Brian Hagedorn, on July 31st of 2015. That date comes 4 years after the emails were originally written and 2 months after our open records request. Of course, Hagedorn now serves as the Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
No, John Doe, burn the evidence. Get rid of the referees. I mean,
but can you send me $10? The Wisconsin GOP asked because Tony Evers has an email address that's not his name on a .gov server. Give us money. But don't worry about Walker. Yeah, yeah. Really?
I would never bring up Scott Walker again. Do you realize it's been going on 5 years since Scott Walker was governor?
Wow.
And it could be longer and longer and longer.
It will be. He's not running. What are you talking about?
Do you think
he's
still?
He's obviously he has left his mark, shall we say, Crudy?
I mean, oh, he peed on every lamppost in this state, Dom.
We used to really relish the Walker bashing. I mean, it was so easy, and it is so easy. I mean, you want to talk about corruption, Wisconsin GOP? Read the Bruce Murphy article. Hell, call Crudy. He remembers all of this
case
stuff.
In verse, most of it he case in verse. You.
I mean, come on. All you got to do is look at your own folks. So, yeah, is it disingenuous? Absolutely. Will they get any money? Maybe a little. Are they hypocrites? Yes.
Big time. As our buddy Joe used to say.
Big time, baby.
Happy
time.
Birthday, Joe Steinhaus.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe.
I saw his daughter posted. So, you know, at least I acknowledged. Also, happy birthday, Phil D. He's the godfather down in Richland Center. Happy I don't birthday, usually Phil. Do birthdays on the air, but, you know, a few friends. Come back, James Causey. We're going to turn it a little serious now. a serious conversation about race. James Causey, a black journalist at the Journal Sentinel, and you would not believe the tone of the, let's just say, hate mail he gets. James Causey with the Devil's Advocates next.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The fighting has resumed between Israel and Hamas, but the aid is still coming in.
While the pause has been lifted and no hostage exchanges are going on, what is still going on, importantly, is humanitarian assistance getting in, including fuel.
White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby spoke on CBS. Police in Los Angeles have made an arrest in the fatal shooting of three homeless people. Police Chief Michael Moore says the suspect is identified as Gerald Powell.
We have not yet established a motive of Mr. Powell in these three murders.
The victims were shot while they slept. An early December snowstorm is blowing its way toward New England. Bob Orovic is the National Weather Service.
The Pacific Northwest is in a pretty stormy pattern. There's a series of storms that are going to be affecting them over the next several days. A lot of heavy rain expected. The snow levels are rising.
As much as a foot of snow is expected in some areas. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks pulled ahead late in the fourth quarter to beat the Atlanta Hawks 132-121. It was the 148th consecutive sold-out game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks campaign with a season-high 18 points.
Man, it feel good, man. It feel good to get my game going in front of these fans.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Really want to give a shout-out to our bench. You know, Bobby came in with a double-double. Cam, season-high 18 points. He was tremendous. I think Bobby in the first half and Cam in the second half, those guys were, you know, terrific.
College hoops, Wisconsin with an upset win over Marquette. Matt LePay with the call.
Point four on the clock. Send it to the backcourt. Kolick picks it up, and the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison.
The final, Wisconsin 75, Marquette 64. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, we'll see cloudy skies and a low temperature right around 30 degrees. For Monday, mostly cloudy. Highs near 37. Chance of rain and snow Monday night as we drop to 29. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy, 38. 40 and breezy for Wednesday under partly sunny skies.
Right now, 35.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
All right. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. We welcome a fine guest, a returning champion, James Causey, a journalist from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, thank you for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
You wrote a hell of a piece, an opinion piece, today in the paper. I'm worn from years of racial slurs, but I'll no longer be silent about bigotry. This was pretty candid stuff. Why now?
Well, actually, I wrote the piece shortly after Miss Lumpkin at Channel 4 went through what she went through, where she was at Country Thunder, and a white guy came up to her. She was a journalist at Channel 4, and a white guy came up to her and called her the N-word. And about a week later, I wrote a piece basically saying that I've experienced that and much worse. But when I wrote it, my editor told me, he said, I think we could do this better than that. Why don't you take some time and really make it bigger and better? And I did. So over the course of time, I wanted to not just really talk about what I went through, but I just wanted to shed light on how some people feel about African-Americans in this city and in our state. And so I really didn't want the piece to be just about me, but I wanted the piece to be more about how certain people view other people just based on their race and based on where they live. And that's the point I really want to hammer home, because I've been taking this for forever. And I guess I'm a warrior at this, but what I really want to show is that racism has not gone away. And if anybody believes it has, they're mistaken, and it's time to really speak out about it.
James, if you don't mind, let's talk about your experience though. I know you don't want to make it just about you, but you've been through a lot as a journalist, just doing your job.
Right.
You started getting letters. Tell us about that experience, please.
Well, yeah. So I really want to paint this picture of what I experienced. And the first experience that I had when I received a letter calling me the N-word, it was like the first time I ever received something like that in writing. And, honestly, it caught me off guard. So I didn't really tell anybody. I just took the letter. I read it probably like 10 times in a row. And then I put it away in my drawer at work. And I went back and I read my piece again, and why would he call me that? You know, and I was trying to figure out why, a person would personally attack me like that. And then as I continued to write more and more, more letters started to come, and I just didn't understand it. So, I had brief talks with two of my mentors, Eugene Kane and Greg Stanford. Two legendary Black journalists in the city who both passed away, but I like to bring them up because they meant a lot to my career. And they both had two different takes. Eugene Kane, who a lot of people remember, was more, he told me, just suck it up and just keep standing on their necks. But Greg Stanford took more of a fatherly approach, and he basically told me to rise above the hate and just keep telling my story, but really take a break from it, but keep coming back at these issues because they need to be discussed. But the letters got worse and worse, and letters turned into emails turned into letters I started receiving at home. And then it just, over time, it just gets to you, man. It wears you out.
It must. James Causey from the Journal Sentinel, a very moving piece, an opinion piece published today. I'm worn from the years of racial slurs, but I'll no longer be silent about the bigotry. It does add up, sir. And I can't tell you I've gone through anything analogous in my life, because I have not. As a white guy, I look like somebody's stepdad. I get a pretty easy living out here in the world. But it's not like you have sought out these sort of racial epithets. It's not through your actions, except the simple act of doing journalism. How do you not take that home to your family? How do you not get discouraged at doing your job? Does it ever affect your desire, James, to want to tell the truth as a journalist must?
Well, no, that would never stop me from being a journalist. I once told my mother, I said, "Mom, if you do something bad, I'm going to write about it." So no, that hasn't changed. I've been a journalist all my life. I mean, I started working at the paper at the age of 15. I started working at the community journal at the age of 14. So journalism is pretty much all I know. I've had two jobs in my life. I worked as a busboy at Sizzler Steakhouse when I was in high school, and I did that for like 6 months. And then after that, I've been working at newspapers all my life. So that hasn't changed. But what has changed is how people feel like they have, like they could just say anything to you and there's no consequences. And, you know, when Taylor Lumpkin went through what she went through, you know, she took to Twitter and said, "Hey, this guy just called me the N-word. I'm just doing my job." And she received like 1.3 million views on her Twitter page after she said that. And I was like, well, I experience this all the time. I mean, to think about this. You go to work every day and you get like snail mail. You open up your snail mail, somebody's calling you a coon or an N-word or this or that, a monkey. You know, they marked up your columns calling you N-word every single time you mention the word black. I mean, over time, it wears you down to the point where you just get angry. So I went from being angry to feeling sorry for some of these people because they just don't know any better, to, you know, some letters I just really want to post, but I pull back because I don't want to use my bully pulpit in that way. But over time, it's just ridiculous. Nobody should endure that. And I'm not going to take it anymore, or else I'm just going to quit. That's just bottom line. I'm not going to take it anymore, or else I'm going to quit. I'm going to always be a journalist, but I'm not going to be a journalist that takes that crap from anyone.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Causey, a columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, big piece today, hell of a piece. Thank you for writing it. And I got to tell you, man, when I was reading this, it broke my heart. Now, I realize, obviously, I don't believe racism is gone, but to see you write this down and the way you express it and the way it made you feel and how you've evolved, but how this has shaped you, James, it's really touching. In the piece of the Journal Sentinel, you have one of the sub headlines as, you know, you can't, you know, be beating people over the head with racism all the time, but it seems like you kind of, perhaps maybe we should be talking about this more often. I was shocked, James. I got to tell you, man, I figured there's a few people out there here and there, but the amount and the vitriol that was sent your way. And even when you try to, you know, reach out to some folks and say, "Hey, let's go to lunch and talk about it." What happened there, James?
Yeah, so this one guy, he writes me a lot, and he's always criticizing the Black community, and he's always saying negative things about the Black community. And we came across this weekend where there was a lot of violence in the neighborhood or in the Black community, and he sent me this email that was poignant. And he basically said, you know, "This is terrible. How come nobody's speaking out about this?" And I said, you know, I understand it's terrible, but there's a lot of things that contribute to the violence that we see in communities all the time. You want to sit down and talk about it, I'll treat you to coffee. A coffee makes you black. Maybe we could grab a meal and just, you know, talk about it. He was like, "Let me think about it." So, you know, the day before we had set the date up, and the day before I sent him an email saying, "Are we still on at noon at Coffee Makes You Black? It's a coffee shop on the north side." He responds with this email message saying, "You know, I thought about it, James, but knowing you, you'll probably just sneak out the back and leave me stuck with the bill," or something to that effect. It was something really
unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the part that really hurts, because it really sets the tone that some people really don't want to have real conversations about serious topics. They just rather complain and spit out what they think they know, but they really don't want to have real conversations. And that's the part that's troubling, because if we don't, I try to create space for dialogue, yeah. You know, and I try to create space where we can have conversations and not jump over each other when we make mistakes, because usually when you have conversations about race, feelings are going to get hurt. But if you're going to act like that, then there's no I don't have time for people like that anymore. And I'm not going to make time and space for people like that who really don't want to have real conversations. They just want to continue along their racist tirades. So I'm changing the way that I do things. And I think people are going to notice that right away.
In that vein, James, how does the newsroom fit into this, in your opinion?
Well, honestly, the newsroom has a long ways to go. And it's just not our newsroom. This newsroom's all across the country. We don't talk about race that reporters go through. And, you know, that's why I felt that it was important to do this. No one has ever talked to me about any kind of things that I've experienced. And we know racism exists. I never had a boss come up to me and say, "Hey, James, I know that was a hard piece for you to write. You want to talk about it?" Nobody's ever done that kind of stuff, you know? And that's got to change in newsrooms, not just our newsroom, but newsrooms everywhere. And it should be a topic of conversation that we need to have. And it's not just around just race. It's also around the misogyny that a lot of the women reporters face as well, because this isn't just a racial thing. It's a misogynistic thing. Some female reporters have talked and expressed some things that were said to them about people who shouldn't be saying those things about them. Some of the words that they've been called, some of the things that they've been called, the cat calls that they receive. None of that stuff should take place, because we wouldn't tolerate this in any other field. And you know what's funny? I work for a company that makes us take all these diversity and inclusion type tests. You know, you have to sit in front of your computer for an hour and say, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I do these all the time, right? Like everybody in the newsroom. But still, there's nothing to inform the public of how they should conduct themselves when they deal with us. You know, so the public could be racist to us and treat us any kind of way, but we can't respond back, and we're supposed to take that? No. That's got to change. There needs to be a societal change on the way that we treat each other. You know, I'm just trying to do my job like anyone else, and I should be entitled to do that without being called names and called out my name.
James Causey, I wonder, how much do you think right-wing talk radio, the juggernaut that right-wing talk radio is, affects the narrative on race in the community of Milwaukee, especially when so often I hear the Dan O'Donnells, the Mark Bellings, look to lead with the crime pages and look to cast the city of Milwaukee as a place of criminals. Does that factor in, do you think, to the greater attitudes?
Well, I think it all factors in. It's not just talk radio. It's the way we cover media in general, covers communities of color, and how it covers disadvantaged communities. I mean, we still, you know, even television news does this as well. If it bleeds, it leads. I mean, how many times can you watch, you know, the news and the first couple of things that they give you is all trauma? Other than weather, you're bombarded with trauma. You're bombarded with a shooting, a high-speed chase, crash, a stabbing, a fire. There's no positive. There's hardly any positive news stories. So we're bombarded with this over and over again. So people, we live in such segregated communities. We don't really cross paths except at work. So if the media doesn't change the way that it covers communities, then you know, we're part of the problem too. And so we have a long ways to go. So I'm not just going to blame talk radio. It's all of us. It's general news as well. We all have to do a better.
James, I know we're short on time. I want to ask you one more question. DEI, yeah. Diversity, inclusion. Robin Voss, the Republicans certainly take issue. They're willing to undermine the entire UW system to try and take out any inclusiveness. Any opinions? You talked about you're a different man now, James. How would you deal with this in future journalism?
Well, you know, when I first heard him, when he came up with this plan to eliminate diversity and inclusion, my thought was, okay, why? Why do we want to do this when we realize that we have a race problem? Instead of finding out ways to kill talking about race, we need to be more inclusive and find ways where we could discuss our differences so we could figure out how to fix this. If we don't, nothing will change. And I don't want my kids dealing with the same thing that I've gone through with. You know, so that's just my take on it.
James Causey, well, we invited you on because we wanted your take. It was a strong one today. Read the column. We've posted it at our Facebook page. And, you know, don't be cheapskates. Subscribe to the Journal Sentinel. Support good journalism like the work James Causey does. James, thank you so much for joining us. Very difficult topic.
Thank you. And it's going to be in a paper on Sunday, so grab the paper too.
Excellent. Thank you for that. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and Life.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our phone lines are open for your calls, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a fine guest, James Causey. If you have not read the piece yet, make some time. Read it. The title, I'm warned from the years of racial slurs, but I'll no longer be silent about bigotry. It's on the digital Journal Sentinel today and will be in the Sunday paper this Sunday. Feel free to pick it up. Thank you, James Causey, for your candor. Hard for me to say, but I mean it. Thank you, James.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, and you can read it, and you know the guy's just putting his soul on the paper. You know, I mean, you can't read this piece and not feel it. If you have any empathy and concern about racism in this country, unfortunately, I wonder also with all the, you know, with the past administration, Trump, you know, talking about the media being the enemy of the people and all that. I wonder if that's, you know, picked up in the last 6 years versus, you know, the years prior. But we certainly appreciate James's time.
And we also appreciate our friend Earl Ingram, our colleague. He's been our buddy since about the time we launched in Milwaukee, Dom. Earl Ingram joined the team on February 1st of 2017. He's been broadcasting with us since then. He's going to join us in the Happier Happy Hour, give us his perspective on race. And he's a little older man than James. A little older man than us, too, Dom. We won't hold it against him. But
no, not all. With that comes the wisdom.
Yes, hopefully. Not so much always, but so.
Well, we'll see what happens.
844-967-2789. Your opinions. Welcome here. Welcome, Jan from Madison. What do you got for us?
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Well, I wanted to say something about the diversity initiative at the university since I did participate in some of the preliminary educational sessions.
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
And I found that they were extremely beneficial, and they are in no way geared towards race solely. They are programs that are set up to help people understand differences. And what I mean by that is we, disabilities, type A versus non-type A people, just learning that not everyone is like me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But again, Robin Boss and others like him, they like to see us all bickering with one another and not finding any common ground, because that helps them get away with the things that they're getting away with. But I don't understand it, why they would not want an educated group of people coming up, other than they maintain their power by using their aggressive behavior to discriminate against people.
Well, I think you pretty much checked all the boxes there, Jan. Excellent call. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, but I won't go into them.
Fair enough. Thank you for your call, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. It is, and let's not forget, this is the divide and conquer party, right? I mean, that's what Scott Walker said.
The Walker party was, yes, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
We never had a worry when Walker was the governor about leading with the crime story, because it was always Walker bashing, man. He earned it each and every day.
844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, you're up. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jack.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to say that every Democrat is innocent of this, but the Republican Party has made open and non-dog whistle, even just blatant racism, just fine, thank you. Whether it was the ads that allowed arguably the least qualified and worst senator in the entire Senate to regain his seat, or
Ron Johnson, you reference against Mandela Barnes, they did quite a bit of racial profiling and contrasting him and comparing him with the Waukesha parade killer, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that was really a disgusting ad campaign, and Johnson didn't exactly repudiate it either. But
repudiated? I mean, it was the central foundation of his campaign.
Yeah. Plus, you got guys like Tommy Tuberville in the Senate, who is creating havoc and admitted racist. And you got, I can't remember the name of the guy that was running for the Speaker of the House, and he said, I'm David Duke without the baggage?
Steve Scalise.
Excuse me? Jeez. I mean, this is, it's so disgustingly blatant. I'm an old white guy, okay? I marched in many of the civil rights marches back in the 60s. That's how old I am. And I wasn't a child either. And now I see this kind of crap coming around again. I'm sorry, I shouldn't probably use that word on the air, but it's disgusting. That's all I can say.
Well, Jack, crap's not going to get us banned by the FCC, so you're okay for now. You're still a friend of the devil's. Thanks for your call.
It's pertinent, and it's a great descriptor, and it is disgusting. 844-967-2789. Stick around, Jack. You know, our buddy Earl Ingram is going to come around at the 5 o'clock hour. He's about your age. We'll get into some of those civil rights marches, perhaps. Cam, a little younger, up in Nina. Welcome, Cam. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, Cam.
Hey. So one thing that I think people need to understand for any of this, these racial issues, when we talk about them, I genuinely think that a lot of these people out here that think like, oh, black gangs, black crimes, like they're a big problem. Milwaukee is black crime central. They are not capable of viewing things in someone else's shoes. So a short history lesson, I'm not sure which Republican president it was, but I am pretty sure, certain that it was the Reagan administration, like most things. They contributed a lot to the continued segregation, housing, lowering values for homes in black neighborhoods. And I believe they're
when Ronald Reagan made his announcement for the presidency, he went to Philadelphia, Mississippi, which was a site of basically racial violence. And some said he picked it purposefully. And you might be shocked if you look back and if memory serves, I believe his motto was make America great again.
Yeah, and I don't believe it, considering his administration knowingly allowed the CIA to put crack cocaine into the black communities to get them addicted.
Well, his heart and his mind told him he wasn't committing any crimes.
But the facts said otherwise.
Cam, and by the way, I won't really eat your support animal. I was just trying to make funny on the radio. You know, I'm not that weird. Come back with us, Earl Ingram. He will not eat your animal either. He's a good guy. He's a friend of ours. You'll want to stick around.
you're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Thousands of stores across the country are pulling brand-name cold and allergy products off the shelves because an FDA advisory panel recently determined that a drug they contain, oral phenylephrine, is ineffective as a nasal decongestant. Navage offers a drug-free solution that's fast and highly effective at relieving nasal congestion caused by colds and allergies. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks.